Hey guys, thanks for joining us for episode 146 of Riding Through the Ages, our revolving journeys through the eras of Kamen Rider. I'm Eugene.
And I am Eric.
Today, we're going to be watching episode 36 of Kamen Rider 71, entitled The Revived Mummy Monster, Aegyptas. It aired December 4th, 1971. It was written by Masayuki Shimada and directed by Katsuhiko Taguchi.
And we're getting close. So, it's not like a spoiler or anything like that, but also, I told you that Hongo comes back at 40.
Yes.
But also, Hongo never, I mean, later on, things get all weird and stuff like that, but initially, Hongo never crosses over with Zol.
Okay.
So, like, 40 is almost like an end of a season.
Okay. So, like, so...
Or 39.
The next three or four episodes, Zol's out the door for the most part.
Yeah. Okay. Well, like, he's still in the episodes, but, like, he's done before Hongo comes back.
Okay.
So yeah, it's like, it would be like what we'd see like a season finale.
Okay. So we're actually coming up on something important.
You would think so, but like watching it is just like another episode.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Fair enough. Kind of like with the 13 cyborgs all attacking Hongo sort of situation.
I mean, it's cool to see it. There's like a climax or something like that. But yeah, so that's like when Hongo comes back, it also starts like a new chapter and also like Shocker and all that stuff.
Okay.
Because there's like a new... like general.
Okay.
And like all that stuff goes on. That's where Dr. Shinigami comes in.
Oh, yeah. I remember you talking about that.
I don't know. They might. I don't know how they'll translate it. Because they could do Dr. Shinigami.
Mm-hmm.
But most likely they'll probably call him Dr. Grim Reaper.
Yeah, something like that.
Or just Dr. Death.
Yeah, Dr. Death has a better ring to it, but.
Yeah, or Dr. Reaper.
Yeah, Dr. Reaper. Hopefully they just say Dr. Shinigami because.
Yeah, I don't think it is because they. They call them mummy monster instead of whatever the Japanese word.
Right.
You know, killer queen or something like that.
Yeah.
But even if they do Dr. Shinigami, we know that. But Shinigami is like, it's usually, there's no direct comparison, but it's translated as like Grim Reaper a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Or Soul Reaper.
Yeah, Soul Reaper. Thank you, Bleach.
Yeah. It means God of Death.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess for... lack of a better term in Western idea, Grim Reaper pretty suits it.
Yeah.
Like somebody who collects the souls of the dead or kills people.
It's a fair comparison, even if it's not like 100%.
Yeah.
There's a lot of overlap at least, right?
Yeah, and there's also like, what is the Grim Reaper is like so varied based on like
is it a vessel or is it a actual, like, is it in charge? Who knows? Does it exist?
Yeah. is it... the embodiment of death, or is it a vessel of death, or is it like this, or is it like is there a bunch of them, or is there only one of them,
right.
type things.
Yeah, singular entity.
Yeah. It all depends on, like, what mythos you're following and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
So, Shinigami might just be a different Grim Reaper. Whatever. It's very different. Whatever.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, does he play amazing bass? I don't know. standing bass, because that was... what the Grim Reaper played in, what Death played in Bill and Ted's.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and sometimes Grim Reaper's an agent of Death, sometimes Grim Reaper is Death. You know, it's all...
Yeah.
So it's like all over the place. But anyways, yeah, it's Dr. Shinigami, I believe, so. But in this episode, Egypt monster.
Yeah, clearly. I mean, this one's... If this it's anything other than a mummy.
If I remember correctly.
With just your typical.
This is a much different monster than like what you've been used to.
Yeah. I can't say for sure, but just I can see what you mean by the theme, even if it's like animal or insect or just, you know, starfish or just whatever. It still all has the same sort of feel to it. You know, I think I'm trying to think of which one stands out as the most unique to me, and I can't really.
I think the most unique one would be that starfish monster because it was made from a fossil.
Yeah, whereas
it
like
wasn't
plants,
made from a starfish.
Yeah.
It was made from a starfish fossil.
Right.
You know, and like getting it wet made it weak.
Yeah. I don't know. Yeah.
They're reaching there. But, I mean, and then they've made up on like weird monsters that don't exist and stuff like that. But, you know, those are fine, whatever. It's funny the things that'll bring you out. You're like, that's not a real monster. That's not realistic. They're making a cyborg.
Right.
To kill a guy who's based off of a grasshopper. I mean, come on here.
I guess the most unique one is just the guy that was a wrestler, right? Because he was just, did he change anything? I can't remember.
The Dr. Satan or something Satan. Or
yeah.
So he was the one that was based off of the weird made up Gila monster thing that can melt people.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I can't remember his monster form. I just remember his outfit. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
His wrestling outfit.
It had like gas thing. Remember?
You said the kills people with the thing, I was remembering the truck, not the truck, the bus.
Yes, right? The bus.
And then it's coming back to me.
And then he killed a bunch of people in the disco.
Yeah.
Murder in the disco. I think that's what I called the episode. But so, yeah. So it's like, it's still a 71 episode. So mm-hmm. It's like, we'll finish it pretty soon. But yeah, so it's, we're getting to the next phase of 71, which is like when Hongo comes back and like the dynamic changes and also like the cast changes because Hongo brings his own girls along because writers just draw women to them.
Yeah.
There literally is way more girls in 71 than there are in some Heisei shows.
I believe
sometimes in some of the Heisei shows, I'm like, you're watching it and you're not thinking about it, and all of a sudden you're like, wait a minute, the only female in the entire cast is just the female lead.
Right. Well, I mean, this, again, we talked about it before. This is early 70s, so basically this is the swinging 60s. So it doesn't make sense for a good looking, well dressed man to not have four or five women on retainer. They all know they're there. I'm being a douche about it, but you know, it makes sense for Hongo to have two or three girls in a sort of a free love era.
Well, like how it is that they're all Hongo's assistants.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And then like technically like the girls of the racing club are Hayato's assistants.
Uh-huh.
It's just like every guy shows up and kicks people and leaves. Taki is like the hero.
Yeah.
And then like
exactly.
He's a lot like? He's a lot like Captain Planet.
Oh, yeah. The kids do all the work and then there you go. Captain Planet's there.
Yeah, he's a lot like Captain Planet.
Yeah, now that you mention it.
The kids do all the work, find the bad guy, get into the danger, and then just summon Captain Planet and he comes and saves the day.
Yeah. It's like, here I am.
End of story. But yeah, and also I think Yuki stays around.
Okay. I think she's my favorite.
She's because she's Goro's brother.
Or her sister. Yeah.
Goro's her brother. But then like the others just like,
yeah. Well, she's the most physically active without being annoying, so that's nice.
She's also the one that has like the most personality.
Uh-huh. That's kind of what I mean, yeah.
Yeah, she's been given the most character moments,
mm-hmm.
and like the most talking and you know, has the most, like, she's the most full-fledged character.
Yeah.
The others are characters.
Yeah, yeah. No, we agree. That's for sure.
Yeah.
Like, they fit a role, but they're not a character.
Yeah.
So to speak.
Which is funny, because
Yuki's the most consistent, too.
Yeah.
Like, with the way that she acts, whereas everyone else kind of has, like, suddenly a 180 point of view, like, their morals change as necessary.
Which is, it's actually kind of funny, because so Yuki came in episode like 14, 14 or 15, which is with Hongo and the Tachibana Racing Club and stuff. When it turned from a cafe to a racing club.
Yeah.
All that. So she's been in it since, she's been in it for like 25 episodes.
Quite a bit.
Yeah. But I still feel like Rurouko had more character development.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, she had like an actual storyline
yeah.
to kick it off. So no matter what they did with her character after that, you know, she still had a story.
And then she was like carrying the show after they just started doing the extra scenes from Hongo.
Yeah, because there was three whole episodes where she was
the main character with Tachibana, you know?
Yeah.
So
probably asked, and you said probably asked for more money or something. And
I have no idea what happened. You know, it's the 70s, and also like, unlike America, a lot of things just you never know.
Yeah, because like, they're not going to, because they don't want to get sued for defamation.
Yeah,
right?
And also it's just like, for a lot of them, it's just like, that's none of your business.
True.
They're like, you know.
Why are you asking?
Why are you asking why I'm not on the show anymore? I'm not in the show anymore. Deal with it.
Yeah.
Like, in Deno, partway through the show, the main female lead was replaced with like a kid version of her, which is a time travel shenanigans in the show, so it worked out.
Mm-hmm.
And like, just like Deno was like, I don't know, 2008?
Yeah.
2007, 2008. And like, I just found out why she wasn't in the show anymore. And that was because she had health problems.
Oh.
She was like doing too much. And so now she's not an actor anymore. She runs like a florist shop or something like that now. But she was like having health problems from the work schedule and all that stuff. So it's just like, but yeah, found that out in 2022 from a show from 2006.
Yeah.
Like, everybody's just like, oh, that's weird.
Yeah. It's like, huh, you know, shrug your shoulders.
And then they use it later on, because later on, they still want to make Deno stuff, but they don't have the main actor because he's a huge star now.
Right, okay.
So they just use a kid version of him, and they'll be like, we already established the kid versions of these people up here.
Yeah, well, that's smooth.
Yeah.
You can do that.
Yeah.
Because the suit actor can be anybody.
Yeah.
Yeah, so when he transforms, it's the same.
Yeah.
Shazam, right?
Yeah, that's actually a common thing that happens, where they just, like, a kid will transform, and they'll be a full adult when they transform. Mm. It actually goes all the way back to, like, a lot of people find this hilarious, but I find it hilarious because it shatters a lot of dreams. That's one of the reasons I find it hilarious. So the White Ranger, Tommy White Ranger, he was the extra ranger from Die Ranger. So that's the reason why he was off always fighting by himself, because he was actually from a different show compared to the other ones.
Right.
But that character in the show was actually a kid transformed into an adult. And so you go back and watch it, you're like, well, Tommy's really hyper as a ranger. And it's because he was like a five-year-old kid. Not a five-year-old. He was like a nine-year-old kid who transformed and got superpowers.
And it's like, yeah.
Yeah.
Heck yeah.
Riding on skateboards and like
right.
hitting guys.
Yeah. Why wouldn't you be super hyper?
Yeah.
Yeah. It'd be awkward if you were totally mature.
Yeah. So it's just like, oh yeah. Watching it now, you're like, oh yeah, that actually is just this creepy gone kid who kept flipping up girls' skirts and stuff like that in this kid's show.
That's excellent.
But yeah, anyways, we're gonna go see. Any ideas what the mummy's powers will be?
The thing is, there's a few
I just say
commonly associated like mummy things, you know, like swarms of, you know, any of the plagues. Like you could drain them and make them into mummy, you know, things, or
the bandages wrapping around people
right.
and stuff like that.
Bandage whips, that kind of thing, which I feel like that's probably the easiest thing to do on a budget. Because it's like, no matter what, like, obviously they're not going to have a giant sandstorm come in from the, you know, from the west or just whatever the hell. There might be.
I just always say breathing fire because that's like 90% of the monster.
Yeah. And say, then that's before you start thinking about, you know, maybe he's got a death ray because of a gem on his chest or something.
Yeah.
It's hard to say. He could have a hand of death where he just touches you and you die.
Yeah, there was the Living Mummy? Was it the Living Mummy? There was like a DC superhero called the Mummy. There was like, because of how long DC Comics has actually been around, like they've been, because they made tons and tons of horror comics in like the 30s and the 40s and stuff like that. All the way through. And so they have all these characters that sometimes they'll bring back and make superheroes.
Yeah, because you can't just have stories anymore and it'd be associated with DC.
Well, it's like because they'll be like, well, we have these characters, so we might as well use these characters.
Fair enough.
They're like, well, I was going to make a character like this, and like, we have five characters this like that, just use one of them.
Yeah.
instead of making a new one, we have a dozen characters who do that.
Yeah.
You know, and so like they've had things where like there's the I think there's a mummy, there's the official zombie of DC. There's
who is it?
The zombie.
Oh, just okay. Just the zombie.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
You know, Frankenstein is an official DC character. Frankenstein's monster. Agent of Slade.
I think I remember that in a Batman comic.
Yeah. You know, Creature from the Black Lagoon. These are all like official DC characters. But yeah, so I can't remember what the mummy's power was. I think he was just a monster, super strong or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, there's all sorts of like mummy style characters.
Yeah, the two things I see easiest to do on a budget, like basically free, is having the band whip sort of thing. Like, yeah, just another, you just dodge it. Mm-hmm. Somebody throws a roll of gauze at you, you just move out of the way. Or the hand coming out and then touches you and you're like, oh, and then they do some like doof, 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 and there's a skeleton.
Yeah.
Or, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So that's, I guess, my two guesses, and if I'm wrong, so be it.
I can't remember off the top of my head.
Yeah, it all kinds of blends together.
Yeah, all their powers kind of blend together. When I say a fire breath, because 9 out of 10 monsters have fire breath of some sort.
Uh-huh.
Or like acid breath, or like some type of breath like that. So I'm like, well, whatever. So we're going to go watch that,
yep.
And we'll be back. Okay, and we are back. So you get what I'm saying about like this is a different monster?
Yeah. Yeah, he actually looks like he's got a uniform look to him.
And like his origins are completely different. Uh-huh. And like like they like had to cram him into a chakra origin.
Yeah,
it was like we had a monster.
Yeah, it's like now what do we do with him?
Yeah, well, diamonds.
Yeah, yeah, like brilliant gems and whatever.
Yeah, they really crammed a story around a monster. They probably had a monster suit for something.
Uh huh. I feel like this could have easily been. This is actually one of the ones that could have been stretched out to two episodes.
Yes, there was a lot in this episode.
Uh huh.
Like. It was still the same length of episode, but it felt like a longer episode.
Yeah.
Not like in a bad way, but there was just like a lot going on. And I think that's because there was just less fighting in this episode than we've had in previous episodes.
Right, where it's like it starts with a fight and then there's another fight a couple minutes in.
Yeah.
You know, and then the quest.
I mean, he still beats up tons of Chakra Goons, but it's a lot fewer Chakra Goons. He's not having a 20-minute sword fight with 9 Chakra Goons.
Right.
In a 23-minute episode.
Yeah. Yeah.
There was a lot less fighting in this episode. So it starts off just, they're like not wasting any time either.
Yeah, like some goons are bringing in a sarcophagus to set right in front of Zol.
And they're like, this is from our Egypt branch.
Yeah, they're all doing, they're doing the exposition of their 4,000-year-old mummy.
Yeah, because there were, well, actually, it's the voiceover getting it to us.
Mm-hmm.
It's a 4,000-year-old mummy. They found it. They're going to do a life-transferring operation.
Yes, a life-transferring surgery to bring it back. And as they're saying that, because they're going to bring it back to ask it questions about gems that were hidden that were worth ¥1 billion or something like that.
That were hidden in Japan 4,000 years ago?
Yeah. At one point, they actually name drop 1800 BC.
Yeah.
But
The math is off. But, also the calendar switching is also off.
Yeah.
There's like lost years and all that stuff.
Yeah. So who the hell knows?
Yeah.
But they got him on the table. They start the, gizmos and the doodads and whatever. It takes, I guess, a few days.
Yes.
Like, up to 5 maybe.
I think it was 5 days, yeah.
And then, the surgeon reports, hey, successful. And they're like, yay. And we see him. So, I guess I should have assumed it would have been an animal motif, right? Like, because that's Egyptian.
Yeah.
Horus and
all the Osirians had animal heads. That was the whole thing.
So honestly, I kicking myself now because I was just thinking, mummy with pharaoh headgear.
Yeah.
So this was that, but armored and a beak.
Yeah, a beak. Yeah.
So it's like, oh, duh. Head slap, of course.
Yeah.
Animals. And honestly, this. So Zol is talking to him, and he's like, okay, great. Now tell us. Where do we go?
Where are the ¥1 billion jewels? And he just starts.
He just says the same. Like, he's just like throwing his hands around and he's like screaming this stuff. And Zol's going, what did he say? What the hell did he just say? So at some point, he's like trying to communicate with him, and his the same surgeon or whatever is like, but sir, he.
Didn't he shoot fire?
Oh, yeah. When he, like, once he stands up, he's like, shoot some flame at something.
Some goon, I think.
Yeah, I think he just kills a goon for the giggles.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, good, excellent, magnificent.
And I know I said fire. I did not remember he had fire. I seriously was just joking.
It, yeah, you were saying it to be...
to be like, everything has fire. And like, then I watched
right
it,
off
like,
the bat. It was within 2 minutes.
I mean, maybe subconsciously I remembered he had fire. Because he shoots it so much.
In this whole episode, yeah.
Yeah. But yeah.
But then it's like, it's one of those times where you're thinking, maybe I'm just remembering me joking about...
Everybody has fire. Yeah.
So it can't be.
yeah.
But it is.
But yeah, the scientist comes up and he's just like, sir, maybe he can't, maybe he can understand Japanese, but he can't speak it.
And then the guy.
That makes sense.
Right. And the guy responds by like doing his shrieking and flailing his arms, but also nodding.
Yeah.
So yes, that's what he means. He can hear you, but he can't speak at all.
And what is super crazy as we find out later is that he can write Egyptian.
Yeah.
But I guess he can't. Right, Japanese?
Yeah. The thing is I understand the idea of being able to understand something but not really necessarily being able to produce the same sentence. But you can still
There are other ways to communicate.
Right. And that's just it. Right now, if I was in Korea and there was a gun to my head, I could probably fuddle through something that could then they could ask a question. And I'd be like, oh, that's right. I said the totally wrong word. I could eventually be led to making a sentence. You know what I mean?
I could be dropped into the heart of like any random country, like Finland.
And yeah, and still with just hand motions and like frowny face.
Yes.
You know,
and like charades.
Pointing with your hands. Yes. Yeah.
And like,
show on the map.
Yeah. And, you know, find out where the bathroom was. Or like, yeah, where's the map?
Yeah, because he asked him. He asked him. He's like, where's the gems? And just flailing his arms randomly.
It's just like there's a million ways to communicate besides just speaking. I mean, a lot of them are lost on the fact that he's wearing a giant headgear mask.
Yeah.
But still.
Yeah, just with your hands.
Yes or no questions.
Yeah.
I mean, come on. He nods. He understands that, which is funny because that's not a universal thing.
No, it's not. Because, like, you can say no by putting your head up and down and yes by shaking your head left and right.
Well, like, in Nepal, it was, like, so freaky because nodding no was the same. Nodding, you nodded. You shook your head. I'm trying to say it because, like,
yeah, it's not nodding.
It's shaking your head, but you shake your head for yes and no.
Yeah.
I had no idea what the difference was, but it would be like we're in a restaurant and like an interpreter would ask for something and the guy would shake his head no and then bring it out. I'm like, I thought it, no, that was a yes. It was very confusing.
I wonder if it's like, which way they start the nod. Start from the right, start from the left. Not, it's not a nod, the shake. Yeah,
shake.
Start
yeah.
the shake.
But yeah, it was just like, it was very confusing, but everybody got it.
But yeah.
It's a lot like saying sick.
Oh, that's sick.
That's sick.
Oh, dude, that's sick.
Yeah. I got sick. It is sick.
Yeah.
It isn't sick. Sick.
Yeah.
Sick. You know,
so I left some sick in the toilet.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. So maybe that's what it is. It's like you just understand if you've exposed to it enough. But anyways,
right.
Yeah.
But I just want to say, first off, it's not my sucks or my sugoys, but props to this mummy. He's not getting paid enough. He comes back from being dead for 4,000 years and speaks Japanese. I mean, he doesn't speak it, but
he understands
it.
Japanese.
And that is more than I can say for myself. I'm on my way, but not there.
Yeah. I work. That's what we need. It was the life transferring operation.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I almost guarantee you that
he got life transfer
from
a Japanese person.
Yeah, I bet you that's the case.
Oh, okay. So we're headcanoning this. Headcanon's fire. This is what we got. You know,
yeah.
He got a life transfer from a Japanese person, which is why he understands it.
Yeah.
But he can't produce it.
Yeah,
because
the neurons aren't there. Like, he doesn't have the electrical synapse to put that into mouth
there
form.
It was a very interesting thing. So, C.S. Lewis wrote the Space Trilogy, but he wrote a fourth book called The Dark Tower. He didn't finish it before he passed away.
Mm.
But it was released, like, the partial was released in The Dark Tower and Other Short Stories, which was, like, The Dark Tower and a bunch of short stories by C.S. Lewis. So, like, which is lame, because you read The Dark Tower and it starts getting interesting right when it stops. You can tell, because he was, like, he didn't like where the story was going, so he just stopped it and went in a different direction. But, like, in the story, the character gets transferred into a body of somebody else on another planet. And, like, if he tried to focus on words, he couldn't understand them. But if he just looked at the words and just let them wash over them, he would get the understanding of it.
Oh, okay.
Because he's like the neurons and the understandings in the body of just muscle memory and
right,
stuff.
So
like,
if he tries to take over, though, then it's gone. It's just totally gone.
Like he would be able to sign his name, but he wouldn't be able to write a sentence out.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Because it's just like, it's just in there. So like when it came to reading, he'd like read the books if he just like kind of just like read the books.
Uh-huh.
But if he like tried to read the books, he could.
Yeah. Like if a word popped up that he didn't. Yeah. He might, if he tries to focus on like, what the hell did he just say? And then it's gone now. You're just looking at a bunch of random scribbles and.
Yeah. So maybe that's what it is. He's got the insight. So we'll give him for that.
Yeah.
We'll headcanon that way.
Yeah. There we go.
Okay. So.
But so anyways, yeah, obviously they have a problem here.
Yeah.
And Zol says, well, you know what? Let's find a linguist.
Yeah.
We need somebody that can understand this fool.
And luckily we have a computer that has everybody on record.
Apparently. Yeah. Because they kick it up and they already have.
That's how they find the wrestler. There's all sorts of things and stuff like that. They just like.
It's got everybody in the database. Yeah, everyone's worried about Big Brother. They should be worried about Shocker.
Yeah, Big Shocker.
They got cameras in your house, in your toilet.
Yes, in your brain.
Yeah.
So they, and then it cuts to,
just random old guy.
Yeah, random old guy, and then Egyptos and, like, some Shocker goons are there.
Because it's at night, and he's like, what do you want? Who are you? And they're like, We need you to...
Shocker wants you to come with us and...
Understand,
and
it's like, oh, are you the ones who killed Dr., what is it, Niyoshi or some
yeah,
crap?
Yeah, Negoshi, I think it was something.
Yeah, Negoshi, that. Yeah, that sounds right.
They say it like twice, so it doesn't really matter. Yeah. But Dr. Sutsun, and Yojimbo just burns him with fire.
Well, because the guy, he tries, he's like, no, I'm not gonna, and he like turns to...
Run away.
Start to run away, and he's just like, bibbidi bibbidi bibbidi, you know,
yeah.
Melt.
And the shotgun goes, so wants him alive. What are you doing? And he's like, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
And they turn him over. We're probably sounding incredibly racist. But
they're sounding incredibly racist. I'm not. He literally says the same bobbity bobbity thing
yeah,
over
he
and
does.
Over
he
and
says
over.
The same thing over and over again. But so they kick over the body and they're like, oh, he's dead. Let's go. Zo wanted him alive, you jerk. Let's go.
You jerk.
And they
as soon as they walk away. He's like, oh,
your doctor gets up. He's like, oh, I guess I'm not dead. And he like stumbles. And then it goes to this guy's house.
Yeah. You see this kid walk up to his dad who's sitting in his lounge chair, probably about to light up a pipe or something with Cody's gun.
So the guy was asleep in his chair.
Oh, okay.
And like the phone was ringing. That's why the kid woke him up.
Yeah. He's like, hey, dad, somebody's on
the
phone.
And he's like, oh, okay. And he gets up and he answers the phone.
Yeah. His name's Goda. Something Goda.
And, it's the other scientist, the other doctor.
He's like, hey, man, I just got bushwhacked. So did Dr. Negoshi.
By Egyptos. And they're like, Egyptos!
Egyptos, it can't be. He's like, yeah, and I think he's coming for you next. And obviously, he's like, you talking about the mummy from 1800?
4,000-year-old mummy monster?
Yeah, that same mummy that was responsible for the deaths of blah, 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 and all of this stuff.
And they actually call it a mummy monster.
Yeah, a mummy monster.
Yeah.
So... I guess it's a good thing that he's Legacy Shocker, right?
Yeah.
They don't have to deal with him. Because really, when Zol woke him up, I thought when he was just... I thought he was getting ready to turn on Zol. I was like, are we going to see the one
monster
Shocker troop that besides...
Yeah, so it's just like, because of the way Shocker is, and like also, it's just the way Kamen Rider continuity is.
Mm-hmm.
It's possible that Shocker was around in ancient Egypt. Or it's just possible this monster is just like, you saved me, so I owe you.
Yeah, yeah, since you brought me back to life.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that makes sense. It works either way.
Yeah, because they don't say, like, we've been around since then. Because, like, it turns out different later, but, like, up to this point, our understanding of Shocker is they're basically...
Yeah, the Nazis.
They're like either an extension of or they were the force behind... The okay. Nazis.
Yeah, it makes more sense that way because I'm thinking if they've been around since the 1800s,
so
they should have already.
The thing is,
a
Shocker
now, right?
is a lot like Hydra.
Oh, like it could be just a new like that one. The old one died, and here's the new one.
Yeah, so it's like, and the other thing is like Hydra, like Hydra is like even in the MCU, Hydra's like Hydra is like. From the Nazis, but it turned out that was just the latest incarnation of Hydra.
Yeah.
That had actually been around for like thousands of years or whatever. But yeah, so, but it's like, but also the thing is Shocker, not Shocker, Shocker, well, Shocker continuity, when I was talking about Kamen Rider continuity, is very fluid.
It's what it needs to be when it needs
it's
to be.
It's whatever they want it to be. Yes.
Okay. Yeah.
It's a lot like time travel.
Yeah.
It's whatever you need it to be.
Yeah, it works whenever the hell I say so.
Yes.
Right.
whatever makes the story they want to tell. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, he's like, you know, you need to get out of there because they're probably coming for you. And he's like, oh my gosh. And hangs up. I mean, it's not quite like that.
Well, no, because he like collapses in the phone booth.
Yeah.
And he tells his kid, like, go to bed.
Go, shoo, shoo, shoo. And the guy in the phone booth, he pulls out a red marker. It's a good thing that he has it on him. And
he's a teacher.
Yeah. You know, because everybody just needs a red marker on them that will mark glass and be visible.
So he starts marking on the glass and then he collapses. Then Hayato shows up.
Yeah. And it's just some random scribbles. Like, this is quote unquote hieroglyphs.
Yeah.
You know,
It's funny that they found out that, like, hieroglyphs are pretty much the same as, like, kanji.
Uh-huh.
Like, they had, like, everybody thought they were, like, there was no grammar or anything to it, but then they're, like, starting to learn that, like, it was actually just a script.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, they had meanings, but they also had, like, just sounds associated with them and stuff like that.
Right. Sometimes it's a sound, sometimes it's a word.
Yeah. So, but yeah, he just scribbled some stuff on the glass and collapsed.
Right.
And then, like, Hayato is there for some reason.
Yeah, because he, like, wheels up. He's already collapsed so much that he's opened up the phone booth and is, like, sprawled out. Like, it's the most dramatic way to die in a phone booth, short of, you know, slouching down in the rain and you have Mustang crying at your funeral.
Yes.
But
it's too soon.
Too soon.
Like, when will it never be? When will it not be too soon? Never.
Never.
It's always too soon.
Yeah, that and Edward.
Edward. No, that's great. You can laugh about that all the time. I don't care about her.
So, yeah, so Hayato comes up.
Who could you mean more to the story? Come on.
Yeah. And he runs up to the guy. And he's like, oh, my God, are you all right? No, he's dead.
He's dead.
And he's like, oh, this is strange. And he sees the symbols on the phone booth. And he's like, oh, those are the same symbols that were there when Dr. Nagoshi died. And he...
My only thought is that he was searching for this guy.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. This is why I didn't write it down as a suck, but now that I think about it, it is. So I'll say it now just because I didn't write it down for the future. There's a moment later when he connects what's going on, and it's not right now.
Yeah.
And it should be.
Yeah.
And that's why I feel like we've had, this should have been two episodes. Usually I'm complaining that episodes should have been one episode. This is a case of... I'm like, because he comes up, he's already dealt with the Dr. Nagoshi thing, as least there's a mystery going on.
Yeah.
And he sees the symbols, and he digs through this guy's wallet and pulls out and sees that he's a professor at such and such and so and so.
He's a professor, he's a history professor also.
Yeah, specific, it's a very specific kind of thing. It's the same scribbles in both locations. And he's just like, how strange, you know, like they must be connected. But he can't figure out how they're connected. Until later.
Yeah.
And I don't know. It's like, it's now that we're going back over it, it's like, holy crap, this was like so obvious.
This is very obvious. And
the next step, you know?
Yeah.
So he steps over this dead body.
Yeah.
Like, he's literally in the booth with half of a dead body.
And he doesn't check who's on the other line of the phone.
No.
He doesn't see if there is anybody on the line of the phone. I don't think there is. I think the guy, like, hung up, maybe.
Yeah, I think they had their conversation, and then I can't remember exactly how it ended.
But I think the next time we see the guy, he's still on the phone.
Yeah,
you're right. The order of events here is a bit foggy and, like, also makes no sense to begin with. So there's that.
Right. So he calls Taki and says, hey, man, I need you to investigate those symbols that we saw. And Taki's like, sure, or it's like, why? Oh, no, that's what he said. Hey, what's going on? And he's like, I don't have time to explain. I need you to look up that stuff. And he's like, okay, but you can't just cut me out. I need to know stuff. And he's like, wait a minute. Are you there? Like,
he hung up on him.
He hung up on him.
To be fair, Taki cuts Hayato out of, like, everything.
Uh-huh. Yeah. At this point now, I think they're in a pissing contest to see who can cut the other person
You're
out
like,
of.
Oh, no, FBI business. Oh, no, coming right business. Oh, no, FBI business. It's just like,
that's just it. They're both in a midlife crisis, and it's, unless they can figure out what the mystery is.
No, see, like, what it is it's like they're in a competition to who is actually the star of this show. Yeah. Because they're just like, no, I'm the main character. No, sorry, I'm the main character.
Right. It's like, well, I'm already too far ahead in this that you're not going to be able to catch up and solve the mystery. So now you got to figure out the mystery of the mystery. What is the mystery?
And so Taki leaves to go figure it out.
Yeah.
And then it goes to the doctor who's hanging up the phone.
Yeah, you're right. He hangs up.
So, like,
because the moment he hangs up, he hears his kid calling from the other room, like, Dad. And then he goes rushing in. They're like, what? And there's nobody in there.
So,
you just tripped me up. You're right. That's exactly the order of events. It's him hanging up the phone.
So,
Hayato literally went in there.
The guy he's looking for there, is click, on the click, other click, click. He just clicked.
Because when he first went in, I thought he was going in there to, like, start, you know, 86 or whatever the hell the number is. I don't know if they had that for phone booths in Japan back in the day where you call back the last person called.
Yeah, but no, he's like, he's still on
he literally walked up and, like, just hit the paddle thing. Like, nothing, this matters. Like,
yeah, obviously whoever this guy dying who's doing cryptic symbols, whoever he was talking to, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, his last phone call couldn't have been important.
Yes.
And yeah, and then that's just it. He's a burn corpse too. It's not just like a random old guy that's dead with strange symbols. He's dead by burns, strange symbols, history professor of hieroglyphics or whatever.
Which is exactly what the previous guy was.
Yeah,
so
both,
like,
murdered in the same way. Yeah, and he just what an absolute.
It's like one of those things where, like,
wow.
If you had the walkthrough for life, the walkthrough would be like, talk on the phone instead of hanging out.
This is like the video equivalent of skipping the tutorial. Like, he just cut out the first, like, he doesn't know what the story's actually about.
Yeah.
He's so, like, when he gets to the next major cutscene, he's like, wait, who did they say?
Yeah, it was,
what,
like, hey, skip. On visual novels, you can just Like, they make this so that if you're already to a certain part, you can do it. But you can just hold down control, and it'll just go.
And it's probably so if you've already beaten the game, you can kind of skip to the next branch.
Well, yeah, because you can just hold it down, and it'll just go, like, at lightning speed until the next question pops up.
Mm.
And so you can just be like... But that's why, like, what he's doing. He's speed reading a visual novel. So anyways, yeah. So what happens, he puts the phone down and he hears his son scream, which also means that, like, so there's no telling how long it took the old guy to get to the phone booth.
Yeah.
I'll give it like some time.
Uh-huh.
To allow, otherwise, Zol's on this.
Yeah.
Cause like.
For real.
Yeah, he goes up to his son's bedroom and his kid is gone.
Mm-hmm.
And then Zol somehow is broadcasting his psychic thoughts to him or something like that.
He's just like, yeah. I'm assuming because they have complete control over the knobs on his television and linked to video.
They've done something. But yeah, he's just like, hey, we need you to like do this. Basically, I think what he's doing, he's just like, dude, Teachmaster is killing everybody.
Uh-huh.
Like, this is like the last history professor before we have to move on to a different city.
Yeah.
So I'm taking the control of this
one.
Yeah,
I'll take control of this one.
We'll take the one out of my playbook where we just kidnap a relative.
Yeah, it works. Tried and true.
Yeah. We'll kidnap a relative. When they do what we want, we'll threaten to kill them.
Yeah.
That's just how things work here.
Yeah, because he straight up says, we need you to do, you know, blah, blah, blah. Got you to interpret some stuff to help us understand the Egyptians. I will never do it. You killed Dr. Negoshi and... what's his face? The other guy.
Yeah.
And he's like, okay, well, if you don't do it, and then he's like, look at the television, and you see the knob turn, and it's this kid already strapped to a table with a looming death machine above him. And he's like, Daddy, save me. Well, yeah,
and he's like, what's his son's name? Yuki? No, it's not Yuki. It's Yuji. His son's name is Yuji.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, Yuji. And he's just like, your son will live until tomorrow night.
Yeah. Oh,
and then,
this is when it goes to the racing club.
Yes, it goes to the racing club where they figure everything out.
Yeah, so the girls are there. Like, the whole group is there.
Yeah.
And they're talking about it. Tachibana's like, oh, there's got to be Shocker.
Taki's just like, the symbols mean Egyptos, which is a 4,000-year-old mummy monster, such and such. These history professors were all experts in it or whatever. Mm-hmm. And then Taki's just like, obviously Shocker survived him. And then, like, basically, this is where they just guess and are right. They just all guess on, like, everything and they're all right.
Oh, because Mari's like, oh, you know, this is going to be a pain. But Yuki's like, oh, it's kind of romantic, isn't it? And they're like, you know, like, what the hell are you talking about? And she goes, you know, he's 4,000 years old. Think about how much stuff he knows from, like, history in the past. Yeah, and I'm like, damn, I didn't even think of that. That's a good point.
Yeah. It's just like, yeah,
true.
This is
he does know a lot of mysteries that we don't.
Yeah.
It's like, we kind of want to talk to him.
Yeah.
So she's, like, brought up a good point. It was like, there's so much that you could learn from him. And then Hayato's like, the last two guys were both people that would know how to speak, you know, whatever the hell, or read these hieroglyphs. We need to go to the only other guy.
Yeah.
I happen to know is that Goda is also a really renowned or equally renowned scholar in whatever this...
Ancient Egypt.
I keep saying hieroglyphs. At no point was this said in the show.
Yeah, so they just say ancient Egyptian.
Yeah.
Which, did they call it ancient? I don't think they... I think they just called it an Egyptian.
Whatever the hell they said, we are extrapolating from incomplete information here.
Yeah. Well, Zol actually said at one time that he spoke ancient Egyptian.
Ah, yeah.
We need to find an expert in ancient Egyptian.
Yeah, and as we all know, ancient Egyptian means say the same two things back to back.
It's all the pitch accent.
And probably the way he's flailing his arms.
Yeah, it's all in the pitch accent. It's like a million different combinations of pitch. Different words entirely.
Yeah, just open your ears.
Yeah. Pay attention. He's not saying the same thing. You're just stupid.
Yeah.
And so
he's like, we need to go to Goda.
Yes.
And
so Taki and Hayato go.
Yes.
And they go to his house and they're like, oh, I guess Shocker isn't here yet. And then Shocker walks out carrying
the moment they said around the corner.
Carrying the uncut. This is like when you're playing an open world game and like, people are like, you got to go over to this spot. And you're like, I'm going to do some side quests.
Uh-huh.
And then...
And it waits. The scripted event waits for you to get there.
Yeah. It's just like, yeah. You're like, oh, I'm glad you rushed over here. I'm like, man, it's been 4 real world days of me playing this game.
Right. I can almost see that Shocker is sitting there. Like, one of them's having a smoke. The other one's got his mask off. You know, the guy's like talking about, so the other two were talking about their kids, and it's like, man, I've been having trouble at home and whatnot. And then they hear the bikes, like the guy's trying to put his mask on real quick.
We gotta do this.
Put it on the wrong way.
I really wanna, like, just for the fun of it one time, just like, it's like in Skyrim. You'd be like, you gotta go tell the Jarl about the dragon attack. You literally could spend 10 years off doing something, and they show up, and the Jarl's just like, thanks for heading here so quickly. Yeah. Like, because there is a legitimate calendar in Skyrim that will actually go over years.
Tracks it. Yeah. So, yeah, they, you know, they run in, they're like, hold it. Because they're carrying Gota.
Yes, Gota's unconscious. Mm-hmm. Some shock goons are carrying him, and Aegyptos is there.
Yes.
And then they fight.
Of course. And he shoots out the fire. So, you know, Haito's like jumping around, dodging it. Taki's taking care of a couple goons. They're all focusing more on the goons than they are the ancient Egyptian mummy.
Yeah. So Haito transforms, and he's still balancing back and forth. He takes out the guys that are carrying the professor.
Yeah, and so right now what he's doing is he's like fighting goons while also dodging fire.
Yes.
And this is where we see the bulk of the... Like, you know how most episodes, like you said, they have kind of like extra or needless fight scenes. Yeah. This is the one that's like the most... added on to. Yeah, there's like scenes where he's like flipping into a wall, and there's like a totally different, like quick, very, very short, brief sword fight.
And so at one point, Aegyptos like shoots fire at the professor.
Uh huh.
Maybe Aegyptos is really actually trying to kill the professors.
Honestly, I feel like if nobody knows how to communicate with him, he can keep the gold for himself or the gems for himself. Yeah. Without the guilt.
And then Hayato takes it, he takes one. And then
he blocks that. Yeah.
He takes it. He's knocked down. And then Aegyptos sees Taki and he's like, let's get out of here.
Yeah. He knows to jump in the back of the car. So.
But it's just like, it's when he saw Taki.
Mm-hmm.
For some reason, Taki just crouched behind a tree was enough to scare off Aegyptos as he just took out Kamen Rider.
Uh huh. Well, he's fresh. He probably doesn't even know what Kamen Rider is, you know? And he doesn't even have any stakes in this. It's more like. Somebody saved me, so I feel like I'm indebted.
What I love about the fact is they gave him an ultimatum, and they have his kid hostage, and they still went and kidnapped him. This makes me think that, like, Zol's plan is different from Aegyptos' plan.
Yeah, like, there's a disconnect here. Or maybe he understands Japanese, but only to a certain degree.
It's like, Zol's like, okay, I got him. And Aegyptos is like, okay, I'm still doing my thing. Mm-hmm. So then it comes to, like, the doctor. And he's, like, in the house, and Taki's bandaged up. He's got a bandage on his arm, so he took some damage.
Yeah, and he's asking him questions. He's like, hey, man, what's this all about? You know, blah, blah, blah. And he's like, I don't even know what you're talking about. And, like, looks like he's pouting and looking away.
Yeah.
And I know what it is. He's like, I can't tell the fuzz.
Yeah.
Sort of. Can't tell the po-po.
And then he brings up that he knows about Aegyptos.
He says
Aegyptos, and he's just like,
what?
And so then he knows that he's in on the whole thing, and he tells him, like, okay, my son is kidnapped and all this stuff.
And they're like, well, that, you know, this is, now that we know, that still doesn't help us. We don't have any clues as to finding out where Chakra is. And I think the Taki's in the room at this point, right?
Yes.
And that's when the sacrificial, like, ceremonial knife is flung into the ground with a note tied to it.
Yeah.
And who knows where the hell it was thrown from?
And it's basically like, and it's a note from the kid.
Yeah. This is the best thing ever. It's literally a note, and he reads it as it's like, Daddy, save me. Like the same sort of screaming, you know? Yeah. It's like a... This is a perfect example of the Dark Knight, the second one, where he slams Joker's head on the table, and Joker's like, no, you can't start with the head because it gets people all fuzzy. And then next thing you know, and then he slams his fingers. He's like, see what I mean? It just, it's like, or like, have you seen those movies where the guy puts the gun to the head and clicks it, and he's like, do whatever. And he's like, no, see, you're supposed to save the click for emphasis.
Dylan Dog.
Yeah. Dylan Dog.
It was in
underrated.
Dog. Yeah.
It's like, if you had waited for me to say that I'm not going to do it, and then you did the click.
If you watch Dylan Dog as the pilot of a series, it is an amazing show that never happened.
Yeah.
Instead of as a feature film. If it was a pilot to a series, it would have been amazing.
We've been off the hook. Everybody's watching that show.
Yeah.
But so yeah, so in this case, it's a note from your kid saying, "Dad, they're gonna kill me." That's not more impactful than the actual video
of spikes of coming,
spikes coming down slowly. It was supposed to be like a slow drop.
Yeah,
it's gonna add, by the end of tomorrow night, that's when it was gonna reach him, and
you're like,
he's gonna be impaled.
You're throwing things out of order here.
It's like, so wait, did that not actually happen? Like, was I seeing things? I did get hit in the head pretty hard.
Yeah. So they're like, okay, we got to go to the base, which I guess they know how somehow.
What
it is they see the goons drive off who threw the note.
Yes.
That's what it is.
And so they go rush off to find him, but this is when
Taki says, like, you're injured even though you're a superhero. I'm gonna go.
Yeah. So it's Taki that's doing the chasing.
Yes, Taki's doing the chasing, and basically Hayato is guarding the professor.
Mm-hmm. And
Taki goes, and it's an ambush.
Yeah, you can see, oh, he's on his way, and you know, they're getting ready, and you see spike traps.
It's finally that they, like, pop a tire on the freaking motorcycles they drive around. This is like...
Yeah, this is probably the best ambush they've done.
Yeah, he crashes, falls off the motorcycle, loses his helmet. And
he's just lying there, seemingly unconscious.
And then they come up, and then he's Taki in it.
Yeah, he's like, so he's, you know... He's fighting him for a little bit, and then he kind of runs off so he can climb a ladder.
Yeah.
Because he's trying to get an advantage. And then, you know, they're chasing him up the ladder. Eventually, we have a kind of a cool fight on a beam or a girder next to the ladder. And then he goes back down the ladder, and he jumps off from a higher spot, which when he lands, he kind of tweaks his leg.
Yes.
And there was a couple more goons down there.
And they capture him.
And, you know, they come up, and there's only so much you could do. Like,
yeah. Non-common riders have a limit of how many goons they can take out.
Right. And I really like how they did this, because we have seen him take more than four goons before. So in this case, it was four goons, but with leg injury. So the third goon he took out, the fourth goon gets him and, like, starts beating on his chest, and that's basically it.
Yeah.
So I thought that was kind of a nifty way to kind of wrap it up quickly in a way that you can say, yeah, of course Taki couldn't take him. His leg, that was his strong left kicking leg, you know?
Yeah.
That's it. This is where he plants for his right straight punch.
Yeah. So then it goes to the doctor writing a note, and the note is to Hayato.
Yes.
While Hayato is in the room.
Oh, God.
And the note is like, I'm sorry, I gotta do this.
Yeah, I can't do it. I must go and save my son. And literally Hayato is maybe 2 feet away from him, leaning against the wall. At no point is he like, what are you writing over there? Like, what's going on?
Yeah.
I mean, I guess it's fair enough. It's none of his business. I'm just saying, human curiosity being what it is.
Well, yeah.
You think he'd be like, nothing, and then, like, kind of covering it with his arm.
Writing a note to my son, which you can't save!
Yeah. This is my will and testament.
And then Ichibutai shows up with a bunch of goons. And then some fighting ensues inside the house, going back and forth.
Uh-huh. He shoots fire at a desk, which I guess is fireproof.
Oh, of course it's fireproof. He's an Egyptian professor. All Egyptian professors have fireproof desks.
Yeah, it's wood, like lacquered wood. Of course it's fireproof.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. No, it's probably like just particle board. So the fire goes through the particles. That's science.
Yeah. It's like, think.
And he's fighting, and then the professor just grabs a big statue and hits Hayato with it.
Yeah, hits him in the back of the head. He's like, oh, and then, okay, so as he's struggling, because I guess he doesn't know who hit him. And maybe he does. I'm not sure, because it gets kind of weird. I feel like if he knew he got hit by him, then there's going to be no reason to kind of be like, figure out in the next scene. So I feel like he doesn't know that he got hit by the professor, because as he's like doubled over in pain, he slips a tracker on him.
Yeah.
So he has presence of mind to slap this tracker inside his pocket, and it looks exactly like the top of a pen.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, it's got a pen clip.
Yeah.
Almost. So really smooth is the last thing you do before you pass out.
Yeah.
So he's, you know, he's there, he's vulnerable, and they're just like, okay, we got what we need, let's get out of here. And they just leave him crumpled in the floor there.
To be fair, this is, I mean, it makes sense, especially for Egyptos, because he's the only one who's just, like, not, like, kill.
That's what I'm saying. He's not up on this Kamen Rider guy. He's got no idea who this is.
He just can't.
Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter to him.
Yeah.
What I do like so far, we've seen enough of it now that I feel like I need to comment. I love that he's able, even though he doesn't speak Japanese in any way, he can just say the same two words, do hand movements that mean nothing, and the goons know what he wants to do. I feel like you already have your translators.
They're just not
getting paid enough, you know? Yeah. And they know it's like, once I do this, I'm not going to get appreciated.
Yeah.
Worst case scenario, they bump me up to lieutenant, and next thing you know, they're going to try to make me one-on-one fight Kamen Rider. That's just a death sentence. It's like, no, just stay down, keep your head down, pay your dues. 40 years from now, get a little patch of your land you can call your own. Retire.
They take him to the Shocker base.
Uh-huh. And, of course, Taki is, like, chained up to the wall, and his kid is just on the ground there. So there was no death table.
Yeah.
Which, honestly, I'm saying it was, at this point now, I'm like, that had to be a doctored film.
Yeah.
You know, because they just kidnapped the kid. How do they already have him there with the film going?
Yeah.
Right? I'm thinking that was a body double.
Yeah. The last kid they kidnapped. So they, they're like, translate it. And he's just like, Eugene, you're like, translate it.
Do your work first, slap.
And so Egypt Chalice, instead of speaking ancient Egyptian, which is what we thought was going to happen the whole time, he just writes it down. Out.
Yeah, he just writes some hieroglyphs.
And then...
some symbols.
And then he translated that, like...
it's... okay, so it's in the North Country. It's protected by a clan called the Yezo, who were entrusted to keep the gems hidden from everybody. And yeah. Sol's like, oh, Yezo, the... from the Hokkaido area.
Yeah.
So thankfully he's up on the big families
of
Japan.
Yeah.
I don't even know if they're a big family. I have no idea.
Yeah.
It's all gibberish to me. The moment he said North Country, I was thinking he meant like literally
Japan.
Far, far north.
Well, I think Japan is north of Egypt.
Yeah. Yeah. Good point. So.
But no, they were talking about like during this time, Hokkaido was a different country.
Oh, yeah, because there's multiple islands.
Yeah. Mm. Hokkaido, Kyushu, and the mainland were all different countries. And actually, I think the mainland was like two or three countries at the time. So Hokkaido was a different country.
Yeah.
So that's when they meant the country of the north.
Yeah.
So they're like, okay, you know, you've done your usefulness, and so now those who are not useful to Shocker must die. They're like...
he's like, what? And he's like, yeah, you're just... it's time to die. And I'm sitting here going like, what? You translated one sentence from this guy and you're done with him? Yeah, it's like, you can't think of any other use.
He's not going to be able to be like, maybe some more exact directions?
Yeah, like what if it's not there? Like, oh no, what are you talking about? Like they all forgot. Like they've kept their sacred duty for 4,000 years. And nobody, you know what I'm saying? Like they didn't sell any of it? Sure.
Yeah, whatever. Sure. So they'll be like, okay, we're going to tie you up. And he's like, okay, so Egyptos. You set the base to blow up, take the Shocker goons, go to Hokkaido and get the jewels.
Yeah, because I guess the other thing that kills me is you don't think that there's information from a 4,000-year-old mummy that would also be worth a billion yen.
Yeah.
From anything else in the world at the time. Like, he could direct him to a site with...
yeah, lost archaeological evidence, all this stuff. Yeah, whatever.
It's like, we don't need a translator anymore.
Yeah.
But, you know...
Shocker short-sighted.
It raises the stakes.
Yeah.
And so the thing that kills me about this part is that he's going over there to kill the guy. I mean, he's just slapping him with the riding crop, really.
Yeah.
And he looks over, he's like, yells, Taki! And Taki's like, I can't, I'm tied up. And then, you know, he gets hit with the riding crop and the goons are like grabbing his arms and whatnot and he's knocked out. He turns to Egyptos and tells him,
blow up the...
we're going to go pick up the gems.
He tells him, blow up this base, and then take the combat men and go to Hokkaido and get the jewels.
Yeah.
Because they're going to be able to follow your directions.
And the thing also...
and then like, Zol just like, I'm out.
And also, hear me out here. If you're telling Egyptos to go do it, he could have just gone and done it.
Yes.
The whole time.
Exactly.
At no point...
you just needed the general area?
Like, you just needed to know what Egyptos was going to go do before you let him go do it, I guess. Which is fair, but that's the same thing. He's like monitoring him, right? Like,
Anyways, so they go, they're all split up, and they've cut a couple times to Hayato following the tracker.
Yeah, like there's a few times that he's stopped his bike and been like,
and he's just like, okay, well, they're only 2 kilometers away. Now it's time to transform. So he transforms into Kamen Rider. And so this is the funny thing. So they're showing Egyptos setting up the bomb.
Yeah, and it's clearly a long dynamite fuse like they loved back in the 70s.
It's a super long dynamite fuse.
Yeah.
And he uses his superpowers to light it on fire.
I said the 70s, but no, that was a trope for a good, good long while.
Yeah. This reminds me of when weather turned into, like, his superpower formed to light a candle.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like nobody had a match. Nobody had a lighter. There's not the torches that usually line in the walls.
Yeah. Nobody had a matchbook. I mean, come on. It's 70s. Everyone smoked.
Especially because every time he blows fire, he has to do like some random hand movements and stuff.
So.
It's like a whole spell.
So the fuse is going. They're trapped in the base. They're like, they're fighting out.
And yeah, then, so all they're like, the kid, Taki, and him are all like tied together, and the guy's like, oh, why'd I do it? Why'd I betray Kamen Rider?
Yeah.
And Taki's like, it's a bit late for that.
Yeah.
You know?
And he's just like, and then he sees the flashing light because all tracking devices are flashing lights.
Right. Like, why do it? Why'd I do it? It's like, why did you do it? Solid question.
To be fair, he was just like, I got to say my kid. I don't care what it was doing.
But don't you love how these tracking devices, like, they only blink when the hero's looking at it.
Yeah. They blink, they flash, and they make a sound. Like, I think I told you that they used that in Leverage, where they actually put a flashing bug.
Something that you want the guy... Because he wanted the guy
to figure out that he was being bugged.
Yeah.
So the fuse is coming, and he's just like, Hayato, where are you? Fuse is coming. It's about ready to come. And then Kamen Rider busts in and just rips it off.
Yeah. And then this is one of those times where he does have super hearing. So even though we didn't see him directly, like, you know, his little antennas wiggling and the guy didn't tell us, remember, he has super hearing.
Yeah.
He was always going to be able to find him, you know?
Yeah. So they...
He tells him, go, you can catch up on Cyclone if you go fast.
Yeah,
you
know? they're going. So he loosens Taki, so hopefully Taki can get out before.
Yeah.
And then he runs off, and so you think, oh, he's going to get to the airport. No, just down the road catches him.
Yeah, it's literally a couple hundred feet.
And then this is the fight.
Yeah, so he chases. The one thing that I like the most about this is, first off, he bunny hops in front of the car to make him stop.
Yeah.
And Egyptos commands his goons to go after him and then tries to drive off.
Yeah.
But, you know, Kamen Rider's in the way, so they're like, screw it, I'm going to run him over.
Yeah.
So, you know, they try to run him over. He ends up jumping up onto the back of the thing. He's holding on to the hood of the car. Not the hood, but the
roof.
Yeah, the roof of the car. There you go. It's like, what do you call that thing on the top of stuff?
The roof? You're like, for a second there, you probably thought, is there a special name for it for a car?
Yeah, is there a car roof? No, roof.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, because there's the hood, not the top.
Yes.
he's fighting. And, like, the deal is that Egyptos keeps shooting the fire.
Yes.
And then he even has a thought bubble. It's like, all I'm doing is dodging because I can't keep up with the fire.
Mm-hmm.
And so then he does.
Yeah. Well, yeah. So what he does is he runs and he jumps onto his bike.
Yeah.
And does a rider break.
Then he hits him with the car.
Yeah. He does a rider break.
And then that was enough to distract him so he could do the rider kick.
Yeah. Because his back was turned and he's like trying to pick himself up. And then he rider kicked him into oblivion.
Yeah.
As he do.
And then that was the end.
Yeah,
and then
boom. Thank you, Kamen Rider.
Yeah.
You're welcome, kiddo.
Renew your vow.
Yeah.
And then that's the end of the episode.
Yeah. Yeah.
So what was your suck?
I have two. The note was funny, but it was totally useless. Like I said, it's a joke. It's just comical, good old fashioned 71 stuff. But like you said, they've started with the big. They showed him the danger of not following through.
Yeah, it's like, if you want to step it up, you send an ear.
Yeah, a handwritten kid's note.
Yeah.
It's like, now it's like, okay, what'd you... Might as well have been in Crown.
To be fair, I don't want them to mangle a kid, but that's when you step up the game.
Yeah, give him a foot.
Yeah. You're like, oh, we showed you we're serious now. Here's a finger, here's an ear, maybe some teeth. You know, be nice. He's a kid. Rip out some teeth and grow new ones if he does.
Yeah.
You know.
Those are his first teeth.
Yeah.
He's got second teeth coming. Yeah.
But
yeah, but
it's
no.
Like, what are they worried about? I mean, they're planning to kill them all. So like, what are they?
Yeah, exactly. And the other thing is they left him there. They left him injured. I know that Egyptos doesn't quite care, but I feel like that should be
the combat man. That should be like standard,
standing procedure.
Orders.
This is like order one, right?
Yeah.
It's like, do you have the opportunity to kill Kamen Rider? You take the opportunity to kill Kamen Rider. Doesn't matter what the plan is, divert plan, kill Kamen Rider, which is what they followed through. I've been bitching about it all the time. It's like, if you had just done what you were supposed to do rather than, you know, just go out of your way to fight Kamen Rider, you would have completed the plan. Whereas in this case, he's directly opposing your plan already.
Yeah.
And you have him at your, you know, your mercy.
Yeah.
The WTF.
They didn't have a death trap laid out.
Yeah. Yeah.
You need to have like a standard death trap to throw Kamen Rider.
Actually, you know what? I hadn't considered that, but a plus for this show, I'll say it with the Segoys.
So my suck is... it's a funny trope, but like, I find that it's a funny trope if it's played as a trope.
Mm.
Is the fact of just guessing the right answer.
Yeah.
Like, I read comic book stories where, like, that's part of almost his superpower. The main character's superpower is that they're just right.
Yeah.
And, like, it's a funny thing. But, like, here it's just, like, it's just, it's their shorthand for, like, they don't have a Philip.
Yeah.
To tell them why they know everything.
Yeah.
Like, in Double, we can write off anything as Philip figured it out.
Yeah. At any point.
And, like, in 01, Izu figured it out. Mm-hmm. Or, that's fine, whatever. She, like, that's the reason why she's there. That's the reason why they know this or something like that. Kuga, because it's so drawn in reality and stuff like that, they just, like, nobody knows anything.
Yeah.
That's the point of Kuga. They only know in Kuga what they've been told they know.
Yeah.
But so it's, like, it's kind of hilarious to look at, but it's, like, it takes out of... Like, I mean, I'm watching 71 and all that stuff, but it still takes, it's, that's how bad it is that it still takes me out of this ridiculous show.
Yeah, ridiculous, cheesy show. Honestly, like.
I mean, if they would have just said at the start that they've been tracking down Egyptologists, professors, I'd be like, fine, whatever, because one died already. We're good.
Yeah, especially because, yeah, in the phone booth scene, that was the perfect moment for him to connect the dots. Yeah. It's literally laid out for him.
Yeah.
And then he needs them to be like, they need to talk to him.
Yeah.
Like the Egyptos, the ancient mummy monster, hieroglyphs, ancient professors. Mm-hmm. You didn't need somebody to say, oh, what if they want to chat with them, for you to be like, oh, yeah, they're going after the professors. Yeah. There's been two of them that both wrote the same thing. I don't know. It kills me.
Yeah.
You know.
What is your Sugoi?
Okay, so I have a few. The one that I just occurred to me. Bonus for not going with the treasure, like the ancient treasure hunt sort of, there's got to be death traps laid out everywhere by the mummy monster.
Oh, yeah.
Like, he's just a master trap setter.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it was actually the goons that set the only ambush trap, and it was for Taki.
There was no, like, hidden tomb or anything like that. They didn't go tomb.
Yeah, yeah, because they could have very easily set up a crappy set piece where the gem was hidden.
Yeah.
You know, not that I'm saying that couldn't have worked for like a 2-episode thing, just that they didn't do it. So bonus points. But that wasn't my actual Sugois. The other than the ladder fight, the thing I love is usually the thing I hate. The stupid noise was so good.
Oh,
it was just the dumb everywhere. And every single time that he like moved his hands and said the same thing, literally the exact same thing he's been saying all episode, people did different stuff.
Yes.
But like acknowledging that he just told them to do it.
Yeah.
They're like, yeah. And they'll run over and do it. Like, yes, sir. That kind of thing.
Yeah.
And it works the other ways because these goons are like tailor made for their cyborg men that they create, right? But this isn't somebody they created. This is somebody they resurrected.
Well, so this isn't my main Sugoi, but it is a little Sugoi here. I don't know if you saw, but the shocker base they had was a mummy shocker base. It had like a mummy like mural on it and everything like that.
Oh,
like,
I totally did. I
like
totally
right above
it.
The door, like where they have like when the, it was the B1 and all that
stuff.
Yeah,
I totally
it had a
missed
mummy
it.
Thing on it before they even brought him. Before they even brought him in. It was the mummy base.
Man, I remember seeing.
And also, like, I'm no expert on Shintoism and stuff like that and all that stuff, but their secret base looked to be in a shrine.
Oh, okay. So like, maybe they needed, like, magical energies to do the life force transfer
or something
whatever.
Like that. But it was just like, that's all I've known. That's what I've learned from, like, Yu Yu Hakusho. that's, like, the stuff I've learned from, like, Yu Yu Hakusho and anime and stuff like that.
Yeah, so it's
it
if you were to say that it was complete information, it would be.
Yeah. That's like saying everything you learned about from the Bible, you learned from Supernatural.
Yeah. Yeah. Right.
So, but yeah, so they had a mummy themed base.
Wow.
Anyway, so what is that? Was that your main one? Was the
it was the least grating one that, I don't know, it was so stupid that I couldn't even be upset about it.
Yeah. So, my main Sugoi is just the fact of like how different this monster is.
Yeah.
And like the concept of the monster.
Like even motivations.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And like it was like, oh, we found this monster and now we're going to transform it.
Yeah. It's that's why it's almost kind of a pity we didn't get a two-parter for this guy.
Yeah.
Because the suit was pretty sleek.
Yes. I almost think that maybe it was a suit made for a different show.
Oh, yeah, that makes perfect sense to me. Like, they just kind of, it was there, and they're like, is nobody using this? And they're like, yeah, we're going to get rid of it. It's like, hell. So,
I don't know if it actually was, but it just, like, it might have been that might be the reason why.
Mm-hmm. That makes sense. Because it does look like it has a different, like, it had a different crew working on it.
I mean, they slapped the belt on it, but everybody has the belt.
Yeah.
So, now, It's the right ranking.
So yeah, I have an interesting, like, for me, this is an interesting episode because on one hand, I'm still kind of hung up on how he should have connected the dots immediately. And the second time when he gets betrayed, he gets up and he's like, because we forgot to mention this, he gets up like, ah, my head. And he's looking at the note like, oh, the doctor, he ran away. Yeah, because he hit you over the damn head. But then the other time, I think it was really cool that he was able to, like, obviously he must have been starting to black out. He was still quick enough and able to hide a tracker on him.
Yeah. So, like, to be fair, he is, Nego is below XL and above Vulcan.
Mm.
And, like, Vulcan's been doing nothing for these past episodes. And XL's been doing really good. So I don't think he's going anywhere. I mean, we were saying we were going to be more flexible, but, like, there was a variation. There was some cool stuff, some lame stuff in it, but, like, there was nothing that would, like, there was definitely nothing that would bump him over XL in this episode.
No.
And there was nothing that would bump him below the kind of, that's been, like, Vulcan. I mean, we were just soured also on Vulcan.
Yeah.
Because we just want 5 episodes of recap.
Yeah, 35.5 and all that.
Yeah. So.
Like, who's even above XL? Kuga?
0-1.
0-1. Yeah, see, that's just it. Even if, let's say, zero XL bumps all the way up and we're like, oh, maybe we shouldn't have put 0-1 where he was, I still don't see him going over 0-1 either.
No.
So, this is just where he is, I guess.
Yeah. So that's what we're going to go with that. So the next episode. Okay, this is it. So the next episode of Kamen Rider 71 is titled The Poison Gas Monster Torikaboto's Operation G.
Operation G?
Yeah. Torikaboto's Operation G. The Poison Gas Monster Torikaboto's Operation G. That's the title of the episode.
Jeez.
But our next episode, we will be in Kamen Rider Kuga. I say it like that because that's how they say it in the show. Kuga. Episode 36, entitled Complication. Because remember, he just killed that guy.
Yeah.
He just gave in to the rage.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I have to sell because the guy was killing a bunch of kids.
Right. He kind of had to.
Yeah. But we'll talk about that at the start of the next episode. Talk about, like, where we think that's
right.
going.
Yeah. Because, I mean, that's a whole pre-show right there.
Yeah. So, I've been Eric.
I've been Eugene.
And we will see you next time.